Good evening, everyone. It is now 5:01 p.m. and the Finance Committee is called to order. If you have any additional conversations, please take them out in the lobby because we have quite a lengthy meeting tonight. Let the record indicate the meeting has been called to order at 5:01 p.m. On the Finance Committee agenda, I need a motion to accept the minutes of August 18th.
Moved.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. I need a motion on the consent calendar, the minutes of the meeting from August 18th, please.
Move favorable action.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Much better.
Four ayes.
Eight, really.
I just want to make everyone aware that this evening, the Finance Committee will be recessing at 6:25 to allow an item to be moved out for a public hearing prior to the full committee being convened at 6:30. Just so you're aware of that. I will have this evening, I will have numerous PCRs I'll be assigning to some of the items. And I'm going to start with the first one, item number one on page one, 2026-212. I need a PCR, please. 9825. Thank you. Okay. Also, I just want to let everyone know, at the request of the police department, item number 13, dictation software for the police department has been withdrawn. That was at the request of the police department. So if anyone is here for just that item alone, I just wanted to let you know in advance. All right, first item up, 2026-212, purchase 8 police vehicles.
Good afternoon, Robert Hart for the police department.
Good afternoon, Captain.
Good afternoon.
Major, sorry. I did that the other day, too. I apologize. I knew you since you were a captain.
All good, Councilman. The police department is requesting a 56-6 exception to notice to purchase 8 Ford police utility vehicles from McGovern MHQ of Marlborough, Mass. Under the Greater Boston Police Council Master Price Agreement and Cooperative Bid. These vehicles are in stock and ready for upfitting. These 2025 police package vehicles would be assigned to our patrol officer section of the fleet and would be replacing various current vehicles that would be reissued within the department, transferred to other city departments, or sold at auction. Total pricing for the vehicles is $524,892.56, and that includes upfitting and equipment installation. If approved, they would be funded through the city lease purchase funds, budget code 499-0449.
Major, I think I just heard you say that these vehicles, this includes upfitting.
I'm sorry, Councilman King.
I just heard you say this bid includes upfitting of the vehicles?
It does.
On your position paper, it said these vehicles are currently in stock at McGovern Municipal and are ready for upfitting. So does that mean the upfitting is going to be an additional charge?
No.
That's included?
That's included in the price.
And don't I recall, I think it was in July, the council just approved 3 vehicles for the police department? Was it 3?
That is correct.
And that was in July?
That was.
Okay. So throughout this entire bid package, you're going to be hearing me comment on a lot of things. And they all go to the same point, which is, in my opinion, this spending bleed has got to stop. I think that the spending is out of control. Some people may say, well, that was part of the capital budget and the council approved the budget. This councilman did not approve the budget. I voted no on the budget. And I voted no because of some of the items that were in the capital budget. So this seems to be this issue of, because we can, we will, meaning on the spending. This is not something that I can support, purchasing 8 vehicles now. And then we have another line item a little bit further down for another 5. That's 18 vehicles in one fiscal year. I think that spending far exceeds what is necessary. So I'm going to hear for comments from the members of the committee. I'd like to hear what you have to say and what your positions is on it. I do have one other question first, Major. From the Joshua Bassett from the auto company, in his last line, he says, I will put them, this is about the 8 vehicles, I will put them on fast track to get built and delivered rather than having to wait 6 months. So I thought these vehicles were like already ready to go. But yet, in here, it's saying fast track to get built.
Correct. The vehicles are in stock on the lot, but they have to be upfitted. The equipment installed, the lights installed, siren installed, prisoner cage installed. Mm-hmm. So he's going to move these up to the front to get those installations done ASAP, as opposed to waiting 6 months in line with other departments who are waiting for cars.
Mm-hmm. I'll open it up to questions from members of the committee. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Muto.
Hi, Major.
Sir.
Mostly, I want to get a handle on how your capital replacement plan is. Very similar to last council meeting when I asked the fire department how they looked at their fleet, measured what they need, and how are they keeping the fleet up to up to standards. Would you be able to share that process with us?
Yes, sir. We plan for approximately 15 to 20 vehicles per year of different types, whether they be patrol vehicles, supervisor vehicles, unmarked vehicles, traffic vehicles, all the different types of specialties. The fleet manager looks at not only the mileage of the vehicle, but what's more important is he looks at the hours on the vehicle, so the engine hours, which describes the most wear and tear. He looks at the general condition of the vehicle, and then he makes a plan of where that vehicle is going to go when it's time to be replaced. It may be go from a patrol vehicle to then become an unmarked detective vehicle. It may get assigned to another city department, Parks and Rec, DPW, whoever. It might then be turned into a detail car, which is a revenue maker. And after that, once he determines that it's no longer usable or the costs to fix it are too great, he will put it onto GovDeals, and he's currently working on that right now for many vehicles.
Anything else?
Yeah, that's what I have. Thank you.
Any questions, Councilman Napa?
Good evening, Major. Sorry I didn't get this question to you sooner, but we were doing some traveling, so please excuse my me not sending these sooner. I hope you have the answers. The vehicles that you're purchasing now, are they intended to replace older vehicles in the fleet, or are we expanding the fleet for the police department?
We are not expanding the fleet. These are replacing vehicles. These will go into the first and second shift part of the patrol fleet. Those vehicles will go down to third shift and work their way down. And finally, any vehicles that were detail cars or, again, are just not useful or too expensive to fix, we then sell those.
Okay. So with the three vehicles we've already purchased and what's on the docket tonight for our approval, is that going to cap out what the police department is looking to purchase for the entire fiscal year?
Probably not, no.
Okay. Do you have any expectation, or strike that, do you have any understanding on what might be brought to us later for purchase?
I do. We are looking at replacing or purchasing most likely two motorcycles off lease to save some money on that. We're looking at replacing any vehicles that may have been involved in crashes, so that's replacing totaled vehicles. And we're looking at, I believe, possibly, I think maybe an ACO truck. I'm not positive on that.
Okay. I think that's all I have. Thank you, Major.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
As part of the fleet replacement plan, how does it look in future years? Are we going to be similarly replacing? I'm just going to combine the 5 and 8 that are coming up in front of us this evening. And I believe, as the chair pointed out, there were 3 earlier this year as well. Do we similarly expect to replace similar numbers of vehicles next year, the following year, or how does that look?
Right now, talking to our fleet manager, the plan is to replace about 15 to 20 vehicles per year. And that's about average.
And how many vehicles total in the fleet?
If you take the word vehicle and you count trailers, motorcycles, speed lines, anything with a license plate on it, I believe I had the number right here. Give me 1 second. It averages around 150. And again, some of those are trailers and message boards and has a license plate. It's a vehicle.
Thank you. I do share some of the chairman's concerns about the rate of replacement, although I do understand that police vehicles, of course, they have to be in peak shape. You can't have police vehicles breaking down, and that when the vehicles are no longer in peak shape, they're not simply necessarily sold prematurely, but they do go to other departments or details or the like. At the same time, the way that the budgets have been lately and the way that it appears that they will look in the future, I'm concerned that all departments are going to have to do some belt tightening here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from members? Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Major, I think Councilman Ricks asked a very good question, and I'm going to look for more of a pinpointed answer. How many vehicles? I'm referring to such as the type of vehicles you're looking for right now, such as the vehicles that you're asking for in another item in the vehicles that replace. So cars. I'm not talking about trailers and speed sleds and whatever other type of things that have license plates on them, just vehicles.
I know that we have 30 patrol vehicles, 7 supervisor vehicles, approximately 8 traffic vehicles, and I believe we have about 5 community police vehicles. I don't, off the top of my head, know how many detective and unmarked cars that we have.
So right now we have a count of about 50.
Okay.
And so far, you've gotten three, which doesn't include how many we replaced in 2025 fiscal year. And now you're asking for 13. As I said in the beginning, I think the spending is out of control. I am particularly concerned with the credit cards and the IOUs that are coming down in the very near future, in 2 to 3 years from now. And I'm not specifically saying no new vehicles. I think that there has to be some understanding on the back of the taxpayers as well. I don't think that replacing 8, 13, 16 vehicles out of 50 right now, just it doesn't make any sense to me. So with that said, that's just my opinion. I am going to make a motion to amend PCR 9825 to approve 4 vehicles. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Councilman Muto. Any further questions from members of the committee? No, I want to do an amendment right here, right now. And we have a motion in process. I have a motion, I have a second. All in favor? Aye. Are there any opposed?
Nay.
Who are the opposed? Okay. Motion fails. So,
motion for favorable action as presented.
Second.
We have a motion as presented. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
No. Councilman Muto?
Yep.
Motion fails. The vote is 2-2. Motion fails. Sir. Solicitor.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just a reminder of the rule revision that we made regarding the four-person committees and trying to find a recommendation. Should the committee not be able to find a consensus, the default would be to allow it to proceed to the floor with no recommendation. And so if that's a consensus to...
Okay.
I just wanted to remind of the rule process.
All right, thank you for that clarification. This item will move to the floor with no recommendation. Thank you for that. Next item number 2, found on page 10, design services for Rocky Point Gateway Improvement Project. That is 2026-098.
Good evening, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. This project, as you may know, revolves around the beautification of Rocky Point, both entrances on the north and south side. This is a great project for the city. There's no city funds in the project aside from Dean's and my staff time. There's 3 major grants that the city achieved that they'll use to execute the project. One of which is a $4.4 million federal highway grant. The second is a $500,000 Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank program grant. And the third is DEM grant match in the amount of $380,000. So we had to go out to RFQ Professional Design Services to finish the design and permit the project. They're going to have a public meeting. And their proposal, as you see here, is only 9.1% of the total, which is a good fee. It's a low fee, and that includes construction administration. So Dean in my office, he did all this work. He deserves a lot of credit for this. So I'm here to try to answer any other questions you might have going forward.
Thank you, Director. So when it says that the funds come from MIGP, funds account 52060-04326, what is that?
That could be just the fund account that the city has put it in from which to pay, I would assume. What page are you looking at exactly?
It is on page 11. It says, if approved, funding for these expenses would be allocated from MIGP funds account code 52060-04326. What is that code?
Yeah, Municipal Infrastructure Grant Program funds account. That's just the city's account through which all the money will flow out to the to cover the project.
So you say that it's the fund that all the money will flow. Where is the account that the money flows into this grant?
I don't know.
Well, my question is, where's the money coming from to pay for this?
Yeah, the money comes from the three grants I just articulated, but the finance director can probably speak to what type of accounts we put them in the city.
Okay, sure.
The revenue that we would get from the grant will be on the other side of this. It will likely start 52006. 0-03, it's on the other side. So there's an expense side and the revenue side, and they'll all be separated out of the general fund.
You say there's an expense on the other side of what?
So the, we have reserve funds for grants to kind of take the big ebbs and flows out of the general fund to get a real number. What we do is we tend to budget for the matching part of this, and it sounds like there is no matching part to this grant. So we'll run it through a grant fund and get the reimbursement through the grant fund.
So there's zero match to this grant.
Correct.
And this grant that we're getting from somewhere is $482,840.
There are three grants. Federal Highway, that's $4.4 million. Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank, $500,000. A DEM match, $380,000.
Okay. That's what I'm asking about. And, you know, it would have made things simpler if that stuff would be included in our documents, so we would know and wouldn't have to start digging into this all the time. So the bottom line is there is no direct cost to the property taxes or the taxes to the citizens of Warwick.
Correct.
Okay. And was there anyone else that bid on this?
Beta.
Yeah, I thought I had saw that in here somewheres. So why wasn't Beta's bid included in our binder?
We scored them interior and staff, myself, Dean, a DEM staff person scored them, and Stan Tech got the highest. So we negotiated with them first prior to bringing you the proposal.
No, I see the scoring, but ultimately it's the council that approves or doesn't approve these bids. And what I'm asking is, why wasn't Bader's bid included in the bid package so that we could see it and compare it for ourselves.
Councilman, so for architects and engineers, there's a federal law that specifically dictates how you bid and award contracts to architects and engineers. It's qualification based, and then you score them. The highest qualified respondent is then negotiated with. If you can't come to a negotiated agreement, you move to the next one. Stantec was the highest scoring respondent based on qualifications, not on price. Again, federal law. I believe it's the Burns Act or something. It goes way back to like the 1920s. And then if we couldn't come to an agreement on the negotiated price, then we'd have to move to the next highest scoring vendor. Stantec was the highest scoring. We agreed on a price. We're asking for authority to enter into contract with Stantec. It's 100% grant funded, no city resources.
So I'm not familiar with that federal law that you're quoting. So could you send that to me, please?
So it's in the federal law, it's in the state law, and I believe it might even be in our law. So it's a state, it's in the state law system. That's why there's no more, hold on, Councilman. So on page, the first page of the director's position paper, second paragraph, in accordance with Rhode Island General Law 45-55-8.1 and Public Law 92-582, Federal Architect Engineer Selection Law, also known as the Brooks Act, I apologize, 40-USC 541, that's how we award this bid, under those two laws.
And it's in those two laws right there that say the only thing that comes into play is the
qualification first, negotiation of price. If the negotiated price cannot be agreed upon, it then goes to the next highest qualified bidder. Stantec is the highest qualified bidder, agreed upon the price, we're asking for award.
And the, and by the way, this is in my ward, but I still need to ask these questions. It's not like just rubber stamp this and, you know, go good to go because it's in my ward. There's still concerns that I'll have regardless of my ward or not. This amount of roughly $483,000, is this strictly for finishing up the design, or is, and the construction is completely separate?
It's design and construction oversight.
Right.
Construction administration.
But the actual construction is
construction
a separate
issue. How much is the $5 million, $6 million? $5.28 million contract, all the grants we received.
Okay.
Of that, $482,840 is coming out of the $5.2 million for design.
Okay.
So less than 10%, which is the average for design. So, design, bidding, and construction administration.
So you're saying that there's still plenty of money left for the actual construction?
$4.8 million.
Okay. Do you have any idea what that construction number is?
Not until we bid it out.
Okay. There's no budget set or anything?
Not until it's final design is done.
Okay. All right. That's the questions I have on that. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council?
Ricks.
Councilman Ricks.
Has the city worked with Stantec previously?
We did. I think early on this project, they did the initial designs, the not quite to 60%.
And after the scores were calculated, Beta Group was informed of their score and of Stantec's score, or how did that part of the process work?
I cannot say that whether or not Dean notified both respondents of their scores, but I know we brought in Stantec to negotiate initially. You know, they're less than the average in the professional service sector for profit is upwards around 15%. So to be at 9.1, Dean and I were pretty excited about that number.
Have we heard anything from Beta Group relative to whether they are accepting and understanding of the assessment of the scores, or have they been silent on that?
No, have not heard.
Okay. I'm not as familiar with this project, obviously, as you are, or as the chair would be, as this is in his ward. When I was reviewing this in the bid package briefly, I was a little bit surprised that Beta Group scored relatively poorly, because I know that the city has worked with them in the past. I don't have any affiliation with either of those, of course, but I was interested in that process. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Director, on here it says outreach, public outreach, $30,100. What is the public outreach that they're going to do for $30,100? I would assume they submitted a plan, you know, that brings them into the classifications or points that they received.
It says that they have the, it's on page, PDF page 27 of 165 in package A of the website docs. Community meeting number one is in person. So of course they'll be showing, it says here, PowerPoint presentation, the residents, the designs they have thus far. They also have a community meeting number two in person and three in person, which is impressive. So it looks like they're going to give this three shots.
Okay.
And incorporate any stakeholder comments from the first two. Mm-hmm. And it's a very good level of effort I'm seeing with this.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Thank you. Hearing none, we'll move on to municipal police and fire term life insurance. It is on page 22, item number 3.
Hello. Stephen Rotondo, Personnel Director. This is a request to a 612 request to extend the 3-year agreement with Oak Securian Company. We were able to negotiate with them a freeze on our premiums for active employees and for the active employees optional insurance. The only thing we could not get a freeze on was the firefighter retiree insurance. However, that insurance is reimbursed 100% to the city through their semi-monthly pension contributions.
Director, I have concerns with the rollout on this item. What we received and what we didn't receive. And what it says in our bid package is that the rates are froze. It's the current rate. Same price as last time. When I look at my numbers, your numbers, somebody's numbers, it goes from the previous contract of $133,593 for 3 years to a total of, for this term, $369,333. And obviously that math didn't make any sense to me. when you do the math of what it was before to what it is now, I'm looking at this and I'm saying there's $107,000 or $102,000 increase. And what is concerning to me is that that wasn't explained in this bid package. It didn't say we've changed the way we figured this. We used to figure the numbers net of the insurance. Now we're changing it, and we're going to go to the gross amount and wait until we get reimbursed. Well, that was not presented in this, and it wasn't disclosed until I started asking questions about it last week. That is not transparent to me. When I look at this, and I have to try to figure out how is it you're saying 133 is the same as 369, and then to find out that, we changed the way we calculate it. Well, I'd like to know why you changed the rate, or whoever changed the way you calculate it. What was wrong with getting a bid approved for $133,000 net of employee contributions to change it to gross of employee contributions? And then somebody's supposed to sit here and monitor all this, the contributions that are coming in and the weekly deductions, and is the math correct? And is this narrowing down to the same amount? Why was this changed, and why wasn't it disclosed?
The reason it was changed, Councilman, is that when we did it, you're right, we did it on the net amount last time. I calculated it based on what we expected to pay based on the premiums, and then took out what we expected to receive from the reimbursements from employees. The lion's share comes from the retired firefighters who are paying 100% of the premium. I was instructed this time by the purchasing division that the best practice and the one that they want to follow is we want to go with a gross amount. And so I took the amount that based on our last billing, I took the monthly amounts that we're paying right now, I extrapolated out by 36 months, and I came out with the gross amount. To put it in perspective, we do anticipate getting from the retired firefighters alone $191,000 to $192,000 in reimbursements. It's going to be 100%. So whatever their census is over the 3 years, we're going to get it back. So it is a stark number, but I was explained that the best practice is, and from here forward, it will be you're doing it on gross, not on net.
So seeing as the purchasing department told you to do it this way, I would like to hear from the purchasing department as to why they changed from what it was to what it is, and what is the benefit to the city for doing so.
Francis Gomez, Purchasing Director. The reason why I suggested it this way versus the past historical way of just asking for net is because best practice is to ask the council for a spending authority. So if we're asking for the council for the spending authority for 3 years, why would we only ask you for 1 year of funding net-wise for this three-year bid? And that's why I suggested to go with the gross, so that way they are covered. Even if we get reimbursements, that will show up later afterwards what we got back.
So not that I agree with that, but my question is, why wasn't that disclosed in this presentation to us, as opposed to us having to sit here and short of being a mathematician, figure out that, wait a minute, 133 isn't the same per year as 369.
It wasn't disclosed because that wasn't in his letter. And I asked him before the letter even got to finalized, I did ask the director from personnel, Stephen, to ask for the gross instead of the net. It just makes more sense spending authority-wise when going along with our ordinance, because they are coming here to ask for spending authority. And it didn't make sense to me to do just for 1 year net cost when you're asking for 3 years.
Well, see, my point is, what we have in this binder, at least speaking for myself, doesn't make sense to me. And because we have this incredible pile of 41 bids that I personally have spent over 11 hours trying to dissect and go through all of this and make sense to it, it doesn't make sense to me that we should be expected to just understand and, okay, got it.
No, I understand where you're coming from, Mr. Chairman, but, and I do can include that next time we come back to you for whatever reason, because I also think that explaining where the money is coming from, not in just this bid, but in other bids, whether it comes from the approved budget, whether it comes from grants, should be added to there. So that way, not only yourself and the other council members of this council can rest assured that it's not just property taxes or anything like that. So I do understand where you're coming from, but that's where my idea came from, is like best practice would be to stick to the ordinance and asking for the actual spending authority, whether you're going to get reimbursed or you might use the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And this term life insurance, that has nothing to do with the fire department, right? This term life insurance that we're talking about right now, this doesn't include the fire department?
No, the firefighters, this is term life for police, active municipal, active fire, and there's a group of retired firefighters upon retirement can opt, or at any time can opt into the plan at 100% premium cost to them.
And the contributions or the costs that are incurred by the fire department, that is strictly contractual agreements?
I believe that they have the option. I believe that the retired firefighters have the option of bidding in because of a clause in the collective bargaining agreement. Again, 100% at cost, and we deduct it from their semi-monthly pension payments, so we get two payments, and it goes right back into the line item for the firefighter life insurance.
But that's driven by contract, right?
Well,
does the contract determine what they're going to contribute towards their life insurance, or doesn't?
The contract in all of these cases determines that they have the option of purchasing, but the price can change. It's not the premium amount changes from time to time, and that's not contractual. The right to purchase or the option to purchase either $50,000 of term life insurance up until the age of 70, and then it gets truncated to $25,000 of term life insurance at full premium cost, that's contractual, just as is the municipal. Well, actually, these are in all the contracts that the city will provide at no cost to the employee $50,000 a year of life insurance. It's in the contract for all of these. Yeah, it's part of the benefits package.
So here's my problem with this. My problem with this is that the administration has had the contract for the fire department for some time. We haven't seen it. We haven't gotten anything on it. So we have no clue what the contract language speaks to with respect to life insurance. We don't know if it's up, if it's down, if it's nothing, we don't know. So to ask, and I won't speak for my colleagues, but to ask me to vote on something that may have an impact, or the contract language may have an impact on what we're voting on right now, doesn't make sense to me.
The contract language regarding retiree firefighters, it hasn't changed. It's been in there for years.
How do you know it hasn't changed? Have you seen the contract?
Yeah, I was on the negotiation committee. It hasn't changed.
Oh, okay.
Bill Facenti, Chief of Staff to Mayor Picozzi. Councilman, the language in the expired contract is the same as it is in the current contract that you'll be receiving once it's finalized. We're waiting for a couple more documents. The contract is done. We're waiting for more internal documents. It's not going to be heard until November, so that's why you haven't received it yet. Mm-hmm. But it has not changed. The firefighter retirees have the option to purchase health retiree life insurance at their cost, mm-hmm. not the city's cost, at their cost, 100% their cost. It's deducted from their pension contributions, 100%. Active firefighters, police, and municipal have it all in their contracts that the city provides a certain amount of life insurance. They also have the right to purchase, while on active duty, additional coverage. That is what they reimburse.
So how do I know the new contract with the fire department hasn't changed as to what the city is going to contribute to the life insurance?
I just said it hadn't.
I haven't seen the contract. Right. I have no idea.
I'm just telling you it hasn't.
Okay. Okay, any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman Napa, just call out if you can, because I got this sun in my eyes, so I don't see everybody. And the same thing with the councilman on the other side, yep. Please.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
So just a question relative to budgeting, so I can get my head around this. When we approved the budget in this patch budget hearing for fiscal 26, for the three departments, there was line items relative to life insurance in the amount of $57,144 approved by this council. I don't think we amended that at all. I think that was what was requested, and we approved what was requested. Based on my understanding of what was presented here, does that mean that you're anticipating a contribution from employees, whether they be current or retirees, a contribution of $65,000, almost $66,000 to make up the difference here?
I'm not sure what you're saying.
The budget only approved $57,000. Let's round it down, right? So we
for
have
the, for the three lines.
For fire, municipal, and police.
Yeah, for the current fiscal year, okay.
Okay. So what you're requesting is spending authority above that per year. Are you anticipating a roughly $66,000 year contribution?
But the confusion is that the budget is net. The contract is
not
gross.
Confused by that. I'm asking if that's... If,
so what's budgeted is net, because there are contributions that will offset it to that approximately that amount.
So
yeah.
Does the anticipated income from the employees, retired or active, is that going to be around 66,000? It should be 65,967 based on my math.
Yes.
Okay. Where is that going to be reflected?
So the accounting for it gets a little complicated, which is why we're doing the contracts gross, because that is the most transparent component to say what we are paying a vendor. There are liability accounts that run through our pension plan and run through our general fund that offset the expense, because you can buy up life insurance as well through the city as an active employee. And then there are, of course, the retirees that Steven's talking about. But they all offset to the end to what's being expended in the general fund.
Okay. Does it make sense then for next budget cycle to use gross numbers in the requested spend for budget, or no?
No, because what we're budgeting for is what actually impacts for a real benefit for the employees versus what's being offset. I mean, we could do it that way, but historically we've just budgeted for the net in there, because a lot of this is actually running through pension payments.
What if there's a shortfall due to mortality in the retiree population?
Then they wouldn't be paying for the uptick.
But we pay for the premium up front, yeah?
We pay it on a monthly basis.
Okay, that makes more sense. That's all I have.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councilman. So, Director, what you're asking us to do is approve an amount that exceeds what was approved in the budget. That's what you're asking us to do. And then it'll filter out, you know, as time goes on.
Well, the budget is net, and this is a gross amount.
Right.
But point out, though, the cost per employee, and this is the important takeaway here, the cost per employee has frozen for 3 years. This is a three-year freeze. Our rates aren't going up. We have a certain number of employees. That census will change. The retirees go up and down, and they can discontinue anytime they want. Our cost per employee, though, is an obligatory cost, and it's going to freeze for 3 years. And so that's not going to change. And given that, you know, when we started these negotiations, we weren't getting these rates back. I had to go back and forth a number of times and negotiate the freeze. The only thing I couldn't get in terms of the freeze was the retired firefighters. The loss ratio is too high. Unfortunately, our loss ratio in the last 3 years for active employees was higher than expected. So they've been on this, you know, they were looking at the last 5 or 10 years of loss. Well, it's higher now. And so against the backdrop of inflationary pressures and a high loss ratio, we went back and forth a bit to freeze the rates. And so these rates are frozen. If we don't approve the frozen rates, if it goes out to bid, we'll never get these rates again. They're all going to go up. And so I don't want that to be lost here.
Councilman DeLuise.
Well, I'm very confused about the whole thing. You say that the premiums have stayed the same.
That's what you said.
Except for the retired firefighters.
All right, well, according to my calculations, okay, the current contract award was $133,593, correct? For 3 years?
If you look, Councilman, to the attachment, the second page, Securian Company provided us with the renewal rates. And if you look at page 2, it says rate confirmation for the City of Warwick. They gave a simple table there. Current rates per $1,000, it's 0.09 cents for the basic life. That's for municipal. And the newer rates are 0.09. Police and fire, basic life, their current rate per 1,000 is basically 11 cents per 1,000. The renewal rate is 11 cents per 1,000. The third one is accidental death and disability. That's 0.0166. per 1,000, and it's going to remain at that rate. The only one that you'll see an increase is firefighter retiree basic life. That's the fund that's 100% reimbursable, and firefighters, as they retire, can take it or not. It's it's 1.665 per 1,000, and it's going up to 2.450 per 1,000. Drop down another level, the supplemental amount that our employees pay. Our municipal employees can buy up an extra $10,000 or $20,000. They pay for that, and we deduct it from their payroll. And the same with accidental death and disability. Those two rates are also the same. So we were able to negotiate a freeze for the city, what the city pays. We were able to negotiate a freeze for the optional insurance that our active employees pay. The only thing we couldn't get a freeze on was the firefighter retiree basic life. That is 100% reimbursable from the firefighters. We anticipate during the three-year term of this, to put it in perspective, that the firefighter retired firefighter reimbursement is in the range of $190,000, $191,000. That's...
Okay, all right. I heard enough of that. Explain to me, all right, I can see all these rates have stayed the same except for that firefighter retiree basic life. Okay, I see all of that. Okay, but the bottom line is this. $133,593 for 3 years previous is about $44,000 and change. I'm just doing this in my head. Now it's going to cost for three more years, instead of $44,000 and change, each year it's going to be $123,000, $111,000. That's an increase of roughly about $78,000 per year. So even though you're saying that the premiums and the rates are staying the same, it's still increasing each year by $78,000. The bottom line is money. Rates don't mean a thing. It's all smoke and mirrors.
The 2022 that you're looking at, that was based on our on the city's prediction of a net amount.
Okay.
As we were
whatever
told,
it was
as,
whatever it was based upon, 2022 was 3 years ago. Did you pay that in 2022? I know you're saying it was based upon that, but did you pay that? Did the city pay that? I wasn't here in 2022.
Well, that's a three-year quote. We've paid it. We have been paying it over the course of the 3 years.
Okay. So my question is, $44,000 and change per year, as opposed to $123,111 per year. It's an increase per year of $78,000. So even though you're saying all these rates are staying the same, this doesn't make any sense to me.
It's the difference between gross payment and net.
Here we go.
Councilman, so the 133 was based on the net the city paid out of its pockets. The city also takes in reimbursements from the employees. So if right now, what we're asking for to let everyone know that the city pays out is going to pay out the 121. You have my sheet.
123, 111. Right.
That's what we're going to pay out annually. Out of that, the city is going to get reimbursed from retired firefighters, 100% of their cost.
Contributions.
Correct.
Yeah.
We're going to get reimbursed from any upcharge from municipal and police additional coverages.
But can I ask a question?
Sure.
I may have missed it, but is any of what you're saying now, is it anywhere here, like
no.
Councilman Lattiser?
No, it's not.
Wants an explanation. We don't want, in other words, hey, this is costing us $500,000, but the retired people are putting in $250. We'd like to be able to see that. We don't want to be mind readers.
Right, so we apologize that it's confusing.
I know, you guys can apologize all day.
But that's how, I don't know how to put it any differently. That's how insurance, if it's based on the number
right.
of employees we have and the number
okay.
of retirees.
No, I get it. I see the rates are mostly the same, but like I said, Councilman Lattiser, and I'm sure it's belief of everyone else, if it was explained a little bit better, we could make more of an educated decision.
Going for the future, we will do a better job on explaining that.
All right, because I was confused about this. How can they say it's not going up? It's like
right.
That's
like a tax return. You're paying the gross, but you're getting a tax return back. So you paid out $100,000 and you got $50,000 back. It's a refund.
Right.
A reimbursement.
It should be stated somewhere.
I don't disagree with you.
That's all I got.
Councilman Muto.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just want to just reiterate, I agree that confusion was caused by the change in your accounting method from net to gross, but I'm also stuck on what Councilman Knapper has mentioned, that you're asking us to for spending authority over and above what we approved in the budget. And I know it's a net. It's net in the budget, and it's gross out here. So I am wondering if we, with no harm, that we take a mulligan on this and we hold it to next meeting just so we can get our cards straight. Because we have a lot of stuff to go through here. And if we're trying to get this math straightened out,
So we can't change the budget. The budget is the budget. So the budget was based on the net costs before this memo was presented to the council, before the negotiations were finished. The personnel director was intending to go down the road of the same way it was presented previously. Hindsight, I probably should have let him do that, as well as the purchasing agent. I should have probably said, you know what, let's do it the old way. However, we're here now. We're showing you the gross. We can't change the budget. The budget is set. It's based on the net amount that the city anticipates receiving. This is based on the gross amount the city is anticipating spending. I can't undo the budget. This contract is expiring. As the councilman will probably point out, it is late, and we apologize. We were negotiating on getting these reimbursed, these rates frozen, because they're very good rates, considering what we asked the vendor to do.
I'm just saying, because of the confusion with the way it was presented, my concern is at this time, I'm not going to support this. I would much rather hold it till there's clarification.
So, Chief, you just spoke to something I said a moment ago. You just said you were waiting for the contract negotiations. Well, that's what I'm waiting for. You just said that. I have bigger problems with this issue now than I had, thanks to Councilman Napper pointing out the budget. You said you can't change the budget. Why should we change the budget then?
We're not changing the budget.
Yes, we are.
Chief,
this wasn't broke before. The way it was calculated before wasn't broke. Apparently it worked fine because nobody complained about it. Now all of a sudden we change it, and in addition to changing it, we don't inform anybody to why we changed it, how we changed it, or that we even changed it. We just said, this is all hunky-dory, it's fine, it's the same rate. Well, it's not, because you're asking the taxpayers to upfront the money, to put the money up front, and then we'll have to somehow try to monitor how these rebates are coming back to reduce this down to what the amount is. So, yeah. I think Councilman Muto makes a very good point that this should be held until the first meeting in October, and we get the contract, we see what the contract says, and then get the full explanation and disclosure on what this is all about. Just my opinion. Councilman Foley.
Good evening. Two things. First, Councilman Chairman, you have 1 minute left to your 10 minutes. Second question is, based on what you've said, the city is not paying any more this year, this fiscal year, up front than we paid last year. It's simply accounting. Last year, or in the budget, the dollar amount was $57,000.
It's based on the rates. It's based on the number of people that work for the city. I can't say we're not going to pay more, because I don't know how many people are going to die, how many people are going to retire, how many people are going to get hired and fired.
I'm just roughing it. In the budget, it was saying $57,000.
Yes, our anticipation is going to be able to meet the budget that is in the budget that you council approved. That's what we're anticipating. The net outlay will be approximately what that is. Exactly, I can't say. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball. But that's what we're anticipating. It will be within the budget that has been approved by the council.
The point I'm trying to get to, last fiscal year, the money that was put out by the city of Warwick from the taxpayers was $100. We're putting out the exact same amount this year. Last year, we got reimbursed, so the net that the city paid was the $57,000. Correct? Last fiscal year, the net that was paid out.
Yes, I mean, there is a margin of error for number of employees, but yes, it's...
Thank you.
I'd point out that this contract isn't a fiscal year contract either. It's from November through October. It's not a fiscal year contract, so your money's in. They're going to be very different. And who's keeping track of the reimbursements is different. And in a different election year, it could be the administration is different in who's keeping track of it. This whole thing makes zero sense to me, that it was changed from net to gross. Makes no sense to me, but what do I know? Any other questions from members of the council?
Chair.
Councilman Ricks.
From what you stated earlier, I take it that when the when members, retirees, are opting into this, they are also opting into this being deducted from their pension contributions. I believe earlier it might have been unintentionally stated as pension contributions, but really from the pension payouts, correct?
Yes, it comes out direct withdrawal from their pension checks. They buy semi-monthly pension checks.
Okay, so I suppose what's a little confusing to me on something like that is that these premiums, are they paid to the insurance company on a biweekly or monthly or upfront annual basis?
We get a monthly premium bill from the insurance company based on our census for that month, and we pay the bill. And for all of the retirees, that comes out of their pension checks. And then for active employees who've purchased up, they've already signed up, so this is automatically coming out of their, we don't have to adjust it every month unless somebody is added or leaves, but for the people who signed on, it's gonna come out of their pension checks, or it's gonna come out of their week, for active employees, it comes out of their weekly paychecks, whatever their buy-up is, and that hasn't changed.
And I imagine that most of the time that works fine, works smoothly, but have there ever been instances, at least while you've been with the city, where something didn't add up, where that is specifically with the pension, the life insurance contributions? I'm trying to imagine if there are or have been any situations where, because of the payment schedule or otherwise, basically the city taking on that particular risk of being the middleman here, has, in your time with the city, has the city effectively ever gotten burned on that difference while it plays middleman?
No, because the payments are, like I say, the employee has to sign up, and it goes until the employee or the retiree either disenrolls, which they do sometimes, or passes away, which they also do. And the active employees, they will change from time to time. They'll buy up further, they'll stop buying up. What I will say, I think is what you're alluding to, we audit the bills periodically, because someone drops off, and if somebody has dropped off, if somebody had quit and they're on the bill, we look back. And if we've been paying for them for 2 months, we notify the insurance company. They'll reimburse us the full premium for the amount of time the person was gone. It also goes in the other direction. Somebody didn't make it onto the bill. We find, hey, this person's been on for 2 months. We owe you 2 months. So we audit to accommodate, to, you know, make sure that we're paying for and not overpaying or underpaying.
Okay, so the city and insurance company have had a good relationship like that with getting those differences straightened down and accounted for. Okay, that's really what I was looking for with those questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Council President?